Today, visiting with John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator. Good to have you in the house.
Yes, good to be here. Good morning.
And tell me, how is it 13 below at the landfill? Yeah, it's a pretty wide open space out there. I'm sure you have a little wind going through there, too.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, it's good to have a little bit of a warm-up today. Much appreciated after the last couple. Yeah, some challenges that go along with that. So imagine all the big equipment that sometimes is not wanting to cooperate during these extreme cold temperatures. So had a couple of minor issues, minor I'll say for now until it becomes a bigger one. But a couple of things didn't start, but we're working on it. We stayed open. I know there was another landfill that was calling us about some issues they were having, and I think they opened up at noon yesterday. And they were asking what we were going to do, and I was like, "We're going.
We got trucks sitting outside the gate.
Yeah.
They're ready.
Yeah, that's right.
And again, that's one of those things too. Yeah, the cold does have its impact. Thank goodness for all those people that are out there in cold doing it.
Yep.
I mean, you got your staff out there, and you got all the haulers are coming in, and they're out in it. So
yeah, it's one of those things. You know, garbage doesn't quit.
No, it does not. Surprisingly, everybody wonders, how are we going to get rid of all this?
Yeah. You go back, you know, a few years ago with during COVID and all, you know, that people were what happened? You know, it didn't change. The only thing that changed actually was how it was delivered to the landfill. People were staying home more. People were cleaning out their houses more. So we took the same amount of
you were getting everything.
Yeah. So we didn't slow down in that capacity. It just became a different type of hauler coming in. Frankly, so
we do have the or at least. You're going to have a thaw this spring, maybe a couple of them. We'll see how that goes, but that's a whole other issue. So in the meantime, things keep going forward. Came off the holiday again. Did people, I saw a lot of cardboard at the drop-off site, a lot of cardboard,
yes.
And I'm guessing, and that's the kind you really are looking for. It is still, you have to handle it twice when you do it this way. Instead of the truck coming along and picking it up. But again, individual households, it's the easiest way to get it there is to take it out and drop it off at the drop-off. Or take it out.
Yeah, and even better, take it out to the landfill itself, to our transfer station. So, you know, it's one of those, and probably not as convenient as dropping it off in town. The 24-hour drop-off site in town is very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Still encourage folks, if you're, you know, bringing other things out to the landfill, especially, grab some recycling stuff. You can swing through our recycling building out there, drop off your recycling stuff at no charge. That fills up the dumpsters uptown at the drop-off site less often and less for our hauling back and forth and that process. So, you know, if you can drop that off at the recycling center at the transfer station at the landfill, then we can get it processed. But that's one of those we're going to smash it, shove it in a semi, send it down to Des Moines. And you touched on the cardboard portion of that. You know, our recycling route, we've started that this week. Actually, running the cardboard, trying to separate that stuff in particular, gathering as much as we can, and we'll be taking that down to the recycling facility in Des Moines. Trying to divert some of the cardboard from our mixed recycling stream in the transfer station. So, yeah, we're getting it going. Of course, facing a challenge today with a shortage of staff, and it's been some equipment issues in the past. So, we keep adapting and rolling with it.
We keep trying to go forward.
And we do.
And the big thing is too is that reduce the number of times that you have to handle it, get it bulked up, and once you get a bulk, you get a marketable product.
Yeah.
So much easier to at least on, we're talking to the old corrugated stuff.
Right. The OCC, old corrugated cardboard.
Old corrugated.
Everything has an abbreviation.
I know. Like. We got a lot of acronyms there. But that's still, again, something that can go through the recycling process more and more and more. And again, it takes a while before it all gets used up. So that's that part of it. There are others that aren't quite as, they've been through it a few times already. So anyway, that's one thing I was wondering too. Do you have some people that come out to, because folks, I know it's use the second entrance. I know that much of it. And if it's just recyclable, it's pretty easy to go in there. But if you're pretty good at it, handling recyclables, you just pull in there, very easy. You reduce the number of times it needs to be handled and moved is basically what it is, and you're just helping out a little. Yep. But it's not that hard to do. Again, like you said, a little different, a little longer trip out there, but
yeah,
still especially helps out.
Yeah, especially for those that are bringing out garbage anyway, so you could have some recycling and do both stops is mm-hmm. it makes it extra worthwhile, I guess, if you will. But yeah, you know, if you have your containers set up at home to where you're gathering all your recyclable materials, and we're talking about paper and cardboard, boxes, the plastics that meet the criteria. It's a spin, it's in.
Yeah.
Aluminum cans, glass jars, those types of things. Anything that's on the recycling information on our website. It's at the drop-off site. On the flyers that we put out, all that stuff can come in mixed. You can pull through our transfer station, back up, dump it into the pile, and be on your way. It's really easy. And it's extra easy, you know, if you have a whole bunch of stuff. We've talked about,
sure.
We see some people at the drop-off site, you know, we have cameras up there, and we can see what goes on. And you see some people that are hauling, you know, bigger chunks of cardboard, a whole bunch of, you know, piles of it back and forth, and they're throwing it into the dumpsters and going back and forth several times. And, you know, another option. Come out to the transfer station, you pull in the building's big concrete floor area indoors, you can back up to the pile and drag it out, throw it on the floor, and away you go. So it'd be a little bit easier. So there's the little bit of incentive, especially if you have a lot of stuff, and you know, you've taken a while to load it into your vehicle, that if you can unload it a lot easier by dumping it on the floor at the transfer station, then just bring it on out to the landfill and we'll get you in the right spot.
Is there always somebody at the station? So we're, pretty much all the time.
Yeah, it's an unheated concrete building, so the last
so
few
we don't
days,
stay there yeah, very often.
Not just stand around waiting, but generally there's stuff to do, and sure. There's staff available, so we have cameras out there as well. See someone pull up on that side, or if you pull up on the scale, tell the attendant what you have, and we can certainly alert somebody to say, you know, come on over there and help them. Mm-hmm. But so generally speaking, there's always someone there, depending on staff shortage sure. situations. There's someone around to help and guide yeah. you. So if it's, you know, if you're unsure what to do, just ask, and we'll make sure that we can get someone there to help you.
So if you must, you can go to the scale. But yep. if you're pretty confident you're going the right yeah. place and doing the right thing and have things separated, again, that's the big thing, the separating what you need to.
Yep, that's right.
Get that done. No garbage. Don't bring your garbage because you won't be a fan. You will not be one of their heroes out there, I tell you. So there's that. So that's an easy. I never even thought about that. Again, especially people that are bringing, you know, if they've gotten some things in and they've got a lot of cardboard saved up. Very easy to go out there and drop it off that way.
You bet. Yeah.
Well, it's a, you know, we learn all the time. We do. Household hazardous waste, obviously, that not, we don't have our Saturday startups. What, it's going to be in April, right? So we've
yep.
got a couple of months for that.
Yep.
And that's a Saturday thing. And then we'll have the one for the citywide cleanup. I'm pretty sure Boone's going to ask for their waiving tipping fees. That's going to be a whole new thing there. To go through the supervisors again this year. You've kind of been looking at, and not just Boone, but all the communities that are in your service area have these citywide cleanups. Are we trying to streamline and educate more there? Those are one of the challenges that we've talked about in the past. You're going, for some reason, they just always keep coming.
Yeah.
We don't seem to run out.
No, we don't. You know, it's a community cleanup waiver is what it's, as I understand, the intent was to let's clean up the communities, which,
yeah.
Okay, great. I mean, that's what the waiver says. So I understand that, you know. I've just asked the question about how many times we have to keep cleaning up our communities. Over and over. It's perpetual. It's year after year, which I get. And I understand that, you know, we don't want stuff in the communities, the junk that might be out or whatever it might be to make it less appealing to folks. I understand that, you know, but how often do we need to keep doing this? It's just a question I ask. I know the supervisors are on board with saying we need to still provide that. I think their intent,
sure.
Last I had discussions with them about it, it was that we want to make sure we supply that, we do that for the communities. Okay, I get that, you know, but just awareness of it that, you know, it's a lot, and it just seems to always be the same amount. They're always wanting more. Mm-hmm. The communities do, which I get, but you know, we're not trying to fill up our landfill faster. We want to slow it down. I'm not saying we just have more stuff lying around in the communities, you know, out in the open, but also, why do we have so much stuff? And are we enabling the process to say, yeah, we always have this community cleanup, so just stockpile your stuff. You can get more stuff and then stockpile it and then and have it available because we can always dispose of it. And it's just a perpetual cycle. And I just asked the question for more awareness, for one, to be like, we need to consider at least being aware of this problem. So,
John, we have a throwaway society.
It's fine, right?
When in doubt, they just throw it out.
They do. Yeah. I know. And it's one of the challenges. It's one of the frustrations, I guess. You know, here I run a landfill to say, yeah, I'm supposed to take garbage, but also we don't want to do that. And we're going to run out of space eventually. So we need to be more aware of that. And it's whether it's, you know, a household of two or a household of eight or a business, you know, can you do better? Can you do better with the stuff that you're throwing away? And by doing better, meaning stop throwing stuff away, you know, stop having the disposable stuff, focus on recyclable stuff, but really cut down on how much stuff you have initially. So you don't have to worry about, is it recyclable? Can it be reused? Can it be replenished? Can it be whatever else? Stop having stuff. That's the key. So less is better. There's the spiel for
today.
Let's cut down how much stuff.
I mean, it is just, it's one of those challenges. People don't think about it. Is, you know, they go, well, TV, oh, this one broke, throw it away.
Yep. Get another one.
And we've got the, I don't know how many times you could drive down the road and you could see, oh, somebody's going to try to throw a microwave away. That's not going anywhere for a while because that's considered an appliance just because of what's in it, what's it used to make it. Mm-hmm. Or old dishwashers. I see those every once in a while. So. Yeah, and then we have to find somebody who is capable of deconstructing those.
When you do get rid of one of those appliances, be careful of where it goes. It needs to go to a proper facility, a certified appliance demanufacturer, fancy stuff for someone that knows what they're doing and is certified through the DNR to say, yep, we're going to recover the things that are bad out of these appliances. And then the rest of it, after that is done, then the rest of it can be recycled. So it's not just, you know, John Smith down the road that says, yeah, I'll take that appliance, rip it all apart. There's some concerns with that. So be careful that you are not enabling that process either about who you're giving that old appliance to say, yeah, go ahead and dismantle it and do whatever you want with it. I don't care. It's do care because it's it is a requirement.
Do we have planning development, health and sanitation, they do the certification for scrapyards.
They do that.
So they have that. So they do have. There are. They go through and process those, and those are usually the ones that have the. What do you call them? Demanufacturer.
Demanufacturer certification.
I like these terms. I'm learning new terms today.
Something through the DNR to have the requirements, and then there's the criteria about do they have places for the appliances or the batteries and how they're storing and the Freon recovery, the PCBs and mercury switches and all those things of how it's properly handled for the safety and the environment.
It's all things that we have to continue to keep fighting, I guess. Some people are going to go, I don't know, we should just use to burn it. Well, we used to do that. Oof,
That's still frightening.
But remember, that was what, 50, over 50 years now. Wow. Yeah. It's been over 50 years that they started to say, nope, no more.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. And I've, you know, I get that too, where, you know, my parents, I grew up on a dead-end gravel road, and we did a lot of burn barrel stuff, you know, throw it in the burn barrel, and there was a lot of weird colors that came out of there and smoke, and, you know, I give credit to them. A lot of years ago, I talked about them. I told them, you know, I said, I reference you in a lot of my talks and stuff because, you know, for one, they always did the right thing with stuff. They made stuff last as long as possible. Mm-hmm. They burnt things, but also, you know, they also changed with that. I know the last few years of their lives that they had garbage service. out on a dead end gravel road, they still committed to doing the right thing with it. And I don't think I had too much pressure on them for that purpose. Honestly, there was a garbage container at their place. And that was kudos to them that, you know, even in their 80s, they still changed. They still adapted. They learned that it's not the right thing to burn that stuff that's toxic to the environment. So stop burning plastics and tires. Not that they were burning those, but I mean, just so much more disposable stuff that is in your contents, throwing away an old water bottle. Does that matter that you burn that? Yes. What's it going to do? It's going to release black smokes and toxins into the air. That does not stay on your own property. So those of you out in the country, if you're still doing that method of burning stuff, throwing it on the wherever, throwing it in a hole, throwing it in a garbage can or a metal can and burning it, please stop doing that. That is not staying on your property. That is not environmentally sound practice. So contact a hauler, get a garbage service for your place, and do the right thing with your garbage. Still try to cut down on what you have so you're not either burning it, throwing it away, doing all those things. So know what you're supposed to do with that. Think about, you know, beyond that, about the environment and what impact you have on that.
So really, over the last 4-5 years, really, we've been working on this effort to slow down what's coming in. Pretty sure that's not happening, but to an extent,
right?
Trying to do what we can to extend the life of our landfill. And again, we know that it's for most people, they really don't think about it at all. It's just throw it away; it'll end up going to the landfill. At some point, it's going to fill up, and at some point when that happens, people are going to have to pay extra to send it somewhere else.
Yep.
I assume that's what's going to go. Don't know for sure.
Yep.
So, but that's, I mean, that's the challenge, is just trying to extend the life as much as you can.
Yeah, it's becoming a widespread problem. It's not just our own. But
I was going to say, we're not the only landfill doing this.
Yeah, there's some that are larger. There's Cedar Rapids is facing this, and that's a much larger facility, Cedar Rapids, Linn County. But I know smaller ones. You know, I've known some that have been closed recently, and because they're full. And then what happens to their stuff? You don't see another landfill being opened down the road from that. Instead, it's becoming a gathering point, a transfer station. So the garbage is coming in. It's going to be smashed, ground, whatever, and dumped into a semi and hauled somewhere else to a different landfill down the road. So it's going to go somewhere. How convenient it is, how much it's going to cost, what all is involved in that process, those are all things that get considered into that of when you are producing your waste. Where's it going to go? How much is it going to cost? How is it going to get there? All those things come into play. And frankly, yes, it's going to become more expensive.
I was going to say, because you talked last time, you mentioned that about Isaswa.
Yep.
I think when you guys visit, and a lot of you are in the same predicament. How do you start to do what you can to extend it?
Right.
Recycling is a big option, but it's all voluntary pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, so. And that's for us. You know, it is voluntary. Some do require it. Some you're going to pay to have the recycling built into your process. Whether or not you utilize it is up to you in their facilities and their process. But here in Boone, it's nice. It's free. It's voluntary. Well, we do ask you to do it right, do it perfect. You know, all the stuff that you're going to
throw. Well, we'll say it's free as long as everybody is in the same page there. Not everybody is, and then it means someone's got to go to work and take it out.
True. Yeah. Free to the community, free to the public to do that. Yes, that's right. There is a cost upon the landfill and recycling folks.
We keep trying.
Yep.
And still, the mission is, we know it's not going to be, and still there are some people, I'm sure, that go, well, just expand. You can just expand. You're not. You're landlocked, unfortunately. That's the situation that we've run into a couple of years ago. And so we know that, you know, what we've got is what we've got.
Yep. That's keep it.
Working.
Yeah.
We're bottom working. Line.
Yep. That's what we have, and let's make it last as long as possible.
Some of the other things I know that are going to be coming up, and just so people can get an understanding, They're going to hear about the supervisors doing their budget. Landfill budget is done separately from the overall county budget. So you'll be working on that, putting that together. It's an enterprise fund. Basically, your receipts pay for your operation.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, not tax dollars taken. It is done. It is approved. Our budget is approved through the Board of Supervisors. We are a county entity, but it's still getting their blessing on it to say, yes, that's what we'll work with. That's what you should do with for projects, for operations, and it's everything for staffing, fuel, you name it. It's all inclusive. And but yeah, that'll be more like in April. So if you hear about budgets coming due for other county departments, they're doing theirs now, but we'll be putting ours back a little bit. Mostly it's for closure post-closure fund and how much money we need to set aside for that every year.
Which is a mandate by the DNR, by the way.
it's yet another thing mandated. To consider. Yep.
So we've got that part. But in the meantime, the effort's going to continue on with different options. I know that we'll get back to looking at can we harvest methane from there? What's happening on our recycling side? The C&D? Construction, demolition, a lot of that's been getting shifted away, but you're getting more that's showing up locally.
Yeah.
So a lot of out-of-county has moved away, but you got more in-county that's all of a sudden, well, here we go. We got a little more. So.
Yep.
We keep working on it.
Yep.
Let's keep doing it. So. John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator. Quickly, let folks know, because you're not open every weekend. You do close, every other Saturday or so?
Yeah, it's mostly every other, but then there's a fifth one in there that kind of throws it off. So we're open two Saturdays a month through December, January, and then through February. So this Saturday, the 25th of January, we are open. And then we do alternate in February. So we are closed the 1st, open the 8th, et cetera. So
the 22nd. Okay.
If you're trying to write those down and I went too fast, my apologies. It is on our website. Do check us out. Give us a call at the landfill to check. 515-433-0591 with questions about hours, hazardous waste, whatever it might be.
And if you have a group or an organization would like to get a presentation about issues that are being faced by the operation of a county landfill.
That's right.
And extending the life of that.
Yes.
Call please. And ask. We have people will come out and talk to you. John will come out and talk to you. And again, he does the math. He can explain a lot more about it. We'll just say that we have a throwaway society. People just keep throwing more away all the time.
We sure do.
All right. Yep. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.